then Jim gave me a great idea, and that is for some of the letters, I've asked you all to write letters. And by the way, if you didn't get a chance to write one yet and you want to do so, that's why I've not put it in a binder yet. You can go ahead and do that, and you can even just send it to Brett and Jennifer. We'll have their all their contact info, which was supposed to be in a bulletin today, but as I was doing it, I forgot. Y'all prayed. The pastor needs a secretary in a bad way because I've got a great memory, but she's with the children right now. That's about all the memory I got. It's Miss Memory who's watching the kids. So I want to start off and share my letter that I wrote. And Jim, I'm going to forewarn you. Will you be willing to read yours? Good. I figured you would. Dear Brett, Jennifer, and Nathaniel, wow, I knew this day would come, but I never expected it so soon. Never will I forget the day that you two walked into our church. It was our reconstitution service. How many of you remember that back in January 3 years ago? Y'all came at a time of new beginning, and it seems you were leaving at a similar time. I guess I most appreciate your sincerity and transparency. Brett, the times that we sat and talked about life issues really blessed me. It reminded me of being there myself and how God is so very, very faithful to finish, to bring to maturity that which he has begun. The times we spent in the woods hunting were also very special to me. Your character trait of thoroughness just seems to penetrate every aspect of your life. You are like the tortoise, and I am definitely like the hare, a wild hare, to be sure. I've gleaned so much from my time with you, Brett. Your desire to be accountable and to grow has inspired me. I've also been massively encouraged and convicted over your quick response to correction. I guess what I'm trying to say is that you're a good man, and I'm very, so very blessed to call you my friend. Jennifer, what can I say but thank you? Your impact in my daughters' lives is hard to qualify or quantify. You have been a flesh and blood example that living with a hard father is not only possible, but it is actually a gift. My girls needed that desperately, and God sent you at just the right time. I remember the second time I met you, Jennifer. You were on your hands and knees in the ladies' restroom painting. I knew right then that you were special and were a true servant. Since that day, I have watched you do the same type of thing over and over with joy. Keep on serving with no strings. That way, it's all a blessing because it's all for him. Keep Brett as your first and foremost ministry. He will become what you tell him he is, and he will embody your prayers for him. Nathaniel, he looked at me. You are a blessed boy. I'll never forget meeting you for the first time either. I remember the doctor saying to your mom, well, this obviously isn't your first baby. And she said that because your mom knew what she was doing. God has placed you in such a special family. Your dad is a great man, and I expect that you will follow in that same love for God that your parents have. I can't wait to see how big you get. You are a sure enough boy, as they say in the South. We will keep you in our prayers as you journey with your family. Brett and Jen, God sent you to us at a time when I personally was questioning a lot of things about the ministry. You all were my balm in Gilead. God used your faithfulness to restore my soul, and for that I will be forever grateful. Now, go in the grace of our Savior, the power of the Spirit, and the care of our Father. Do great things in the name of our King, and never forget that we love you and are praying for you diligently. The door here is always open to the rights, and we are already looking forward to seeing you again. Grace and peace, Pastor Paul. All right, well, I guess that wasn't a good way to start. I was hoping we would save that to the end, but there we are. I'm going to invite at this time, I don't know which one of you are coming first. Do you want the video first? Or are you going to come up and speak first? I guess it's going to be Brett. So I'm going to invite them to come, and they've got some things prepared for us. Let's give them a hand as they come up today.
right. I think Nathaniel wanted to say something too, but we'll let him chime in. I just wanted to say thank you for letting us speak, and what I wanted to do was share how God is just through the years. And this has happened in y'all's life too, but how God has guided and led, and how specifically how He's led me towards Missions Aviation and this ministry. And then I also wanted to just tell a little bit about why we're going. So the first way, obviously, is just that God has saved me. So that's by His grace, and without that, there really is nothing else. That's God's gift and God's election and calling. And this is actually out of order here, but I was thinking about this on the way up. But God just providing for me a wife, Jennifer, and her desire to follow. And I remember as we were actually on a hike in Simi Valley back home in California, and I was interested in her, but we weren't officially courting or anything, and I was really trying to figure out how I could ask, okay, are you wanting to go to another country and be a missionary pilot's wife? How do you ask that anyways? But I did it very tactfully, and she had no idea, so that was good. It worked out well. So I definitely praise God for Jennifer and her help to me, and I really couldn't be doing this without her. But As I was growing up, my parents are both Christians, and I was raised in a Christian family, and I remember we were on our way to church, and there was a lady that we used to pick up. She was old and didn't have a driver's license, but anyways, I remember Mom telling me about these guys that flew airplanes and helped out missionaries. I was probably 12 at the time. And before that, my goal in life was to be a farmer. That was what it was going to be. But I, after kind of thinking about that, I thought, wow, I like airplanes, and I want to serve God, so I'd be a perfect fit. But as I grew a little bit older, began to realize it's really whatever God has for me, that's where He's. It could be airplanes, or it could be anything else. I need to be open and willing to wherever God leads. But as I kept growing up and maturing, and it really seemed like God was just opening door after door, and He gave me the desire and gave me the ability to serve in this way. So there's been many changes, but in the path and things I did not foresee, but God has definitely led towards this. In high school, some of my friends were part of an organization called Civil Air Patrol, and what got me interested in that was that they occasionally did they call them orientation rides. So you get to go fly in an airplane, and that was pretty neat. And as I progressed in that organization, I was able to go to a National Flight Academy in Nebraska. So that was where I first soloed, and that was a real confirmation of, okay, I can't actually fly a plane. You know, this is a doable goal, and by God's grace, I can make this happen. And then when I was in college at a Bible school, the second confirmation was that they had this requirement that you go on a cross-cultural experience, and it had to be for a certain amount of time. So I chose to go on a short-term mission trip to Brazil with New Tribes Mission. And so that was also a real confirmation that this is what I what God has called me to do, and those screaming kids, I just can't stand it. Right? Okay. That's right. Okay, so, but I was able to go on this month-long mission trip to Brazil, and that also confirmed that this calling of missionary aviation was something that God had placed on my heart, and he renewed that desire to serve him in that way. And it opened my eyes to see that there are people that have never heard, that they can't, even if they want to hear, they can't, they really can't. They have no options. So the third confirmation was one of the requirements for being a missionary pilot is you also have to do maintenance. So you have to have what's called the A&P, the Airframe and Power Plant Mechanics License. And so I went to school for that, and I went through the training. It was the second year I had the opportunity to do an internship, and that was working on Gulfstreams out at Van Nuys Airport. So that was another confirmation of, okay, I do enjoy the working on airplanes, and I didn't, it was something enjoyable and that I could do, and I didn't get fired. I did get laid off, but I didn't get fired. So that was good. Thinking back, there's been several many times through the years of just little circumstances or situations where it's been very clear how God has led and how God has just paved the way. And I wanted to share some of those with you and hopefully be encouraging. After high school, I worked at a Jiffy Lube, a oil change place, and usually I was out doing the actual oil changes and working on the cars, but occasionally they'd have me go in and work the cash register. So one time they said, okay, we need you inside working the cash register. So I went in there, and I mean, you all know me, I'm very open and willing to talk to a bunch of people. Yeah, okay, maybe not. But so this guy comes up, and we had done the oil change, and he asked me, so he just started talking with me. So what are your plans, and what do you want to do? And I said, well, my next step is I'm looking for a mechanic school. And up until that point, there was one school that was maybe an hour and a half away, and it was pretty expensive, and the other school was at LAX Airport, Los Angeles International, and that school was, I think it was like $50,000, and I had no money to pay for that. So those were kind of my two options. So I told him that, I'm looking at different mechanic schools, and he goes, well, did you know that there's a school at Van Nuys Airport right underneath the Van Nuys Tower? And Van Nuys is about 45 minutes from where I lived, and the cost was $75 per semester and $45 for the summer. So two years for, you do the math, but under 400. I was able to live at home. I didn't have to move out. So just, I mean, you could say that's a circumstance, but I believe God is sovereign. I believe he orchestrated that. So that was very encouraging. Also, being able to go to the Eternity Bible College, if y'all are familiar with Francis Chan, he started a school in Simi Valley, and one of their goals was to keep the cost low so that students wouldn't graduate with debt. So I had applied, actually had Bob Jones and a school in Texas, but same thing, I didn't have the money, so my application was in, and they said, okay, you're good, you just need a little bit of cash here. And that wasn't there. So I applied late. I had to pay the late fee, but it was still less money to go to the Eternity Bible College in Simi Valley. And God just really worked that out. One of the professors there was a man by the name of Brad Buser. And he had been a New Tribes missionary to Papua New Guinea for, I think he was there 15 years. Wow. And so his class was cross-cultural church planning, and he was the one that introduced me to New Tribes Mission. So I just see how God worked out the details and worked out the money as well for me to be able to go there. After my A&P school, the mechanic school, there's a couple days of testing, and that's an oral and practical test. So you sit there for several hours, and the examiner will ask you a question, and then you have to know the answer. And then there's a practical test as well. So you got to go inspect different components on the aircraft and get graded on it. So this is to be able to actually have the certificate, the A&P certificate. So I got there and we looked over the paperwork, and the FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration, had made a mistake on my paperwork. And he said, well, I can't pass you with that mistake on the paperwork. We'd have to reschedule. And this is, you schedule it several weeks in advance, and it was going to be trouble if that didn't all work out. So he said, well, let's go ahead and we'll do the first day of testing, and then you need to go back to the FAA office and get them to correct this error on the paperwork. So the testing was down in Los Angeles, and the FAA office was about 45 minutes away. But the freeway to get there is a 405 freeway, which in LA, that's, you avoid that like the plague. So that's not recommended, especially later in the day. So we got done with the testing, and I thought, there's no way I'm going to make it from where I was to the FAA office before they closed. I think they closed at about 5 o'clock. So we got done. I ran out to the car, jumped in, and I had never seen that freeway so clear. It was amazing. Like, I was, yeah, just God can work out the traffic too. So so not all the time. Sometimes he uses it to test us, but. I definitely saw how God just cleared the way for that to happen. The other thing that I was thinking about this morning and was just how God has used my dad and his work. So he had saved money for us, two sisters, so for us to go to college. He had set aside some money for us to be able to do that. The mechanic school and the Bible college were both very, very reasonable, so I was able to just use the money that I had saved up and work my way through those schools. But I just see how God has used Dad's wise use of money that paid for the flight training, which I could not have paid for. So I just praise God for how Dad has been faithful and how he has been gracious in allowing me to get this this training. The kind of moving on from the training, God provided the job in Columbus, Georgia. That's where I moved in 2010. So I was working for Pratt Whitney. Just see how God provided that job. I mean, any gift that we have is a blessing from God. And so that job opened the door here at Warner Robins. And the interview at Warner Robins, I was actually late for the interview. So I know that major no-no, but the guy that I was talking with, he said, okay, you just come to Robins Air Force Base. Well, I came to the base, and you don't just come to the base. And the actual employment office was off base, and he didn't let me know that ahead of time, so oh well. But I still made it through the interview, and I got done with that, and I thought, well, that was a good experience. There's no way they're going to call me back. But yeah, here I am, and God provided that job, which allowed us to live here and then find this church. The private pilot training, which is the first step, I did up in Noonan, and I showed up for the first lesson, and the instructor asked me, so what are you trying to do with this with the flight training? Go to the airlines, or like what's your plan? I said, well, I'm working towards missionary aviation. He said, oh, so am I. So that was, yeah, before each flight, we would just pray that it would go well and be useful, and that was real encouraging to be able to train with Scott. And then also the being able to be part of the Aero Club on base, which was 10 minutes away, and the costs were more reasonable for the training, and the instructor out there was very helpful and just a good instructor. I see how God provided that, because not all schools have good instructors, and the other nearest, there's a school down in Eastman or up in Noonan, kind of the other possibilities. So those are significantly further away than the base. And then finally, just God allowed us to finish the commercial this June, be able to be done with all the assignments, and be able to go to the New Tribes training in Missouri coming up end of this week. So just I hope that's encouraging to you, and I'm sure that y'all have different circumstances in your life, but I hope that'll help just see how God has worked in our lives. I wanted to answer the question why we're going to the mission field, and we want to be obedient to Jesus' command to make disciples of all nations. That's the bottom line, is obedience. We want to be obedient to God. Let me read Matthew 28, verses, let's start in 18. And Jesus came to them and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. There's a quote that this is God's plan A, and there is no plan B for reaching the world. God uses Christians to reach other people. So we want to reclaim the world back to reclaim people back to from rebellion to Jesus' kingdom, being transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of Jesus. Why are we going with New Tribes? Well, the goal of New Tribes is to plant churches. And where are disciples made? It's not anywhere but the local church. The local church is where discipleship happens. That's where growth happens. That's the primary means for making disciples. So the goal is to use the tool of the airplane to assist missionaries to plant churches and make disciples. Here in the U.S., there's a clear gospel message. you can, if you're diligent and searching for it, you can find either internet, radio, churches, different Christians. It's they're not all a gospel message, but you can, if you're searching, you can find a gospel message. That's not true in other countries. In other countries, there are people groups that may have heard something vague, they may have never heard, but there are people groups living in remote locations that they don't have a chance. So the goal is to reach those people groups, plant a church, plant a mature church in those people groups. And so why an airplane? Well, it's not just so we can fly around in style and live the life of luxury. You'll see this on the video. The locations that these people live in, there are no roads. It's a hike of several days, and it's a dangerous hike to get to. So the airplane is a tool used to speed up the process and to make it safer for the missionaries. So by us flying in, food, supplies, taking the missionaries in, we are saving them the danger of travel and the time of the wasted time that they would have to use to go in and out of these locations. So I want to use the abilities that God has given me to serve Him. And I believe that He has called us to this, and He has given us the desire and the ability to follow Him. We don't know where the path will lead. I believe it's towards this, but we just want to be faithful to God wherever He leads. This the video that we have is some of it is filmed in Arizona, where the actual flight training will take place. That'll be after the training in Missouri. So we'll show you that video.
Hold on that video for a second, if you could. You could just drop down to the next screen, Al. And Jennifer, could you come up? Brett, stay up here, if you would, please. Come on up, Jen, and bring Nathaniel. Timing's a little different than what I thought, but nothing goes according to plan, which is why I don't plan much. Come on up here. But we do have a couple of... We were going to have our commissioning prayer about this time, but I figured it would go differently. And so, we on speakerphone yet? Okay. I got a couple of fellows here that I invited to join us long distance from California. So I have Tom DelVecchio on the phone, Jennifer's dad, and Brad Wright, which is Brett's dad. And I've asked them to come and via phone, and if they would pray a prayer of blessing over their children and children-in-laws. So we're going to start with Tom. And Tom, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
All right. I'm gonna let you... Where is the speaker actually coming out of there? Turn that up as much as you can. Are you on speaker?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Are you there, Tom?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, good. Now we can hear you fine. I'm going to let you go ahead and start in prayer, and then Brad, when he's done, you can pray and wrap us up.
Okay, well, thank you very much for coordinating this. Please join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for the privilege of being called Christian, for the salvation, the gift of salvation you've given us. We thank you for Pastor Paul's ministry there as he's come along beside of Brett and Jennifer and help them to shape their doctrinal beliefs and live a life of godliness toward you. We understand that you've given each of us the ability to share the gospel with others, part of the Great Commission, and we look to Brett and Jennifer now as we send them out that you would bless their desire to serve you in the mission field. We thank you, Lord, that you give us the privilege of living in the United States, where we have the freedom to learn about you and to prepare to spread the word to the unreached people group. As Brett and Jennifer prepare to go out into the mission field, We ask that you'd grant them wisdom in decision-making. There's going to be a lot of stretches they're going to have, a lot of decisions they're going to be making. Grant them wisdom. Also, they're going to be relying on you for their provision, probably more so than what they have in the past. And we ask that you would increase their faith as they rely on you day-to-day for your provision. And we understand the mission field can be somewhat challenging. We ask that you grant them patience as they deal with other cultures, people groups, personalities, the mission board. We pray for a godly legacy through Nathaniel and the other siblings that may come about, that this would be a time that they could learn to put their faith in you as they watch their parents serve you in the mission field. We pray for perseverance, that they would, Brett and Jennifer, would labor faithfully, and that they would have much fruit from their labors. We ask these things in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that we can be with Brett and Jennifer, and send them out of the beginning point of their ministry. Father, I pray for Wildwood Baptist Church, and thank you for their the ministry there of encouraging Brett and Jennifer and deep fellowship that has been the one that has been of encouragement and nurturing them. Thank you. I pray that they're a blessing on them for welcoming Brett and Jennifer to them and sending them out. Father, I pray for Brett and Jennifer and his family and for Daniel. Challenges always in service to you, but I pray also that their ministry to one another, that they grow in love for you and in love to one another, and so their joyful and others that may come, that they raise Nathaniel in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and also that they can be best friends and encouragement ministry partners to one another. Father, I pray for their ministry as it goes forward for this learning time at the school there, that would be productive, that would be practical, that they could apply themselves with diligence, and that they would enjoy that time well and be blessed with the people around them. Pray for the ministry that could come after that, keep Brett feel sharp. He would be able to, each of them, be able to share the word of salvation with all those that come in contact.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you guys so much for being a part of our service and for doing that. And I just want to say, as a pastor and as a father, maybe as a father first, how much I appreciate men who have invested not in their families first, but in the kingdom first, and how that is bearing fruit in their families. And fellas, I just want to say that I commend you as a fellow brother and a fellow father and a fellow elder in the church. I commend you for your labor in the Lord in relation to your children, and know that not only has it already borne fruit here, we look forward and rejoice with you in the days to come. So thank you guys for joining us, and God bless you both.
Thank you, Paul.
You bet. All right, we just wanted to do that and bring your dads along for the ride if we could. So now we are going to see the video that Brett talked about, and then Jennifer is going to come. We're not worried about time either, so we're in great shape.
New Tribes missionaries live among people groups in some of the most remote and forgotten places on the face of the earth. New Tribes aviation pilots are responsible for getting them there. Tribal church planners and pilots alike share a common goal: reach tribal people with the gospel. Millions are still unreached.
Since I was a little kid, I'd always wanted to fly. After the Lord impressing me about the tribal work, I didn't see how flying and tribal work actually fit together until I had an opportunity, you know, to walk on trails for days. I can remember some of the trips we made with your backpack, traveling for a full week up through rivers and up and down mountains. And the more I did that kind of hiking, I realized how much an airplane would help.
The task of supplying missionary families who live in remote tribal locations is demanding. Their only consistent contact with the outside world is the pilot. He brings long-awaited packages from loved ones, groceries from the mission commissary, and medical supplies for first aid, malaria, and a multitude of other ailments that are part of regular life in a primitive setting. Many missionary families have young children who are vulnerable to sickness and accidental injury. An aviation program for countries with remote tribal works is not just an option, it is the only option.
Some of our flights were about 4.5 hours, and some of our shortest flights were around a half hour. This is one way. And I got to thinking, you know, how in the world would this be possible on foot? Because there were no roads in these areas. You couldn't drive there in a car, even if you wanted to, because there's no roads. And it reminded me just of the time I used to hike over the jungle, what it would take us a full day of traveling. You could do 4 minutes in an airplane. And what I remember taking a week hiking took us about 46 minutes in an airplane. There was no comparison.
In settings where conditions are at best unpredictable, an emergency can arise out of the smallest of complications, and simply surviving at a basic level can be a full-time occupation. Efficient access to the outside world is vital.
New Tribes Mission Aviation is there to serve the missionaries that are in the tribe. They consider us kind of the missionary to the missionaries.
You're the missionary's friend. It's just a privilege to fly in there and be their friend and put an arm around them and pray with them, have a cup of coffee with them, and just encourage them.
Whatever the missionary needs, we'll haul it if we can get it in the aircraft. I've flown pigs, emus, you name it. Most missionary pilots have flown it.
The airplane has a lot of uses. It's an ambulance, it's a taxi, it's a school bus, it's a grocery store for the missionaries out in the tribe. It's just everything. It's really a tremendous tool that God has given us to reach tribal people with the gospel.
NTM aviation pilots spend as much time on their plane as in them. The required maintenance regime in the aviation program is rigorous. Pilots are trained for spot landings and short field takeoffs on graded mountain airstrips.
We're here for about 9 months of training as a pilot mechanic.
It's a tremendous blessing to the missionaries to crawl into that airplane and feel comfortable and safe. And that's our purpose for training the new pilots that come through here.
New Tribes' mission has one purpose: reach tribal people with the gospel. This work has been greatly aided by modern aircraft, but millions are still unreached. No tribe is unreachable.
Unreached, none unreachable. Isn't that awesome? Isn't it exciting that we get to be a part of this? As far as I know, there's only one person in this building that can fly a plane, but everybody in this building can help be a part of him getting to do what God's called him to do. And that is so exciting. Well, it's often been said behind every great man is an even better woman, and I don't think that's untrue in this case. It's true in all of our cases, fellows that are married. And by the way, guys, this is where you say a good hearty amen. You get some points. There you go. You guys are slow. I will be praying for you. So let's invite Jennifer up and come and share what God's laid on her heart as the other half of this team.
Okay, so now that Brett has given you a little bit of his background, it's my turn. So unlike Brett, I wasn't 12 when I thought, oh, I'm going to go and be a missionary. God did not lay that on my heart at that time. So I grew up in a Christian home as well, and I'm very thankful for my dad and my mom for being faithful to teach me about the Bible and what the Bible said. And I was familiar with missionaries, and they would come through our church, and our church supported them. But I never really thought of it as something that would impact me so much as you all are seeing now as we're being sent out to the mission field. I just didn't see that as a young child. God had not shown that to me yet. So I grew up in a Christian home. I had an opportunity to go to a Bible college, or a Christian Bible college. So I went there, and while I was there, I had the opportunity to actually go and live overseas for a whole semester. So I got to go and live in Israel for 4 months. And just as a part of my story, my testimony, that was a great experience. And I learned so much about God and the Bible there. I mean, it just opened my eyes to so many things. But also, it opened my eyes to another culture and living with the people there, the Israeli people, the Palestinian people, and how different it is from America. There are so many things that are not the same. Like even just basic everyday, when you eat your meals in the day, just the order of things, how you go and get your food, everything is just different. It's just not the same. And some people had a really hard time with that. And not that it was like easy for me, but I really enjoyed my time there. I really liked living in another culture, and God really blessed my time there. And I think he may have used that as a stepping stone for me to go on this journey and to be a missionary in another country. Yes, Israel's not a third world country, and there'll be different circumstances, but I think he used that to prepare me for what we're going on now. And also along with that, after I finished college, I had an opportunity to go on a 7-week missions trip with my older sister. And most missions trips are a week or two as far as short term, and you just kind of go and do what you do to serve, building a building or whatever it is, and then you come home. Well, this was, we were there from June until almost till August, and we were in the Dominican Republic, and we got to work with an orphanage, and we got to work with a missionary school. And again, the Dominican Republic is more like a third world country, and we were in a very poor village. There was one, what they called Mercado, that was where you did your shopping. There's a little butcher shop, and there was a fruit stand, and that's where you got your food. And so that was even more of a culture shock for me of, wow, this is really different. And basically we had the missionary leader that we were there with, Rebecca. It was me and my sister and one other girl. Everyone else in the city or in the little village was Dominican. And so either Dominican or Haitian. So that was really, it really put me into that culture and living with them for 7 weeks. So that was another experience I think that God really used to prepare me for this. And I enjoyed my time there so much. And we, as my sister and I, were ministering to these children in the orphanage that don't have a family, don't have parents, sometimes some of them don't have siblings. They needed love so much, like that's what they were missing. They were put into this orphanage because they were put out. Their parents didn't want them, or their parents had died, or other relatives would not take them. And so our biggest thing while we were there is, because I didn't speak Spanish, but somehow you could just give the child a hug and they would know that you loved them, that you cared for them. And our main goal in being there was to show them that God loved them, and that was the most important thing, and to teach them about the Bible and to teach them lessons. And that was really a blessing for me to be able to go and to do that and be on that missions trip. And that was also, Brett and I had already started courting at that point, and he had told me, this is my goal in life. I want to be a missionary pilot. Are you okay with that? Are you ready to go and do this with me? And I said yes, although somewhat hesitantly, of yes, I'm willing to go where God has called us. But after I went to the Dominican, and this was the summer before Brett and I got married, I realized God can give me the strength to do this. God can get me through these challenges. Yes, I might be so scared about moving to another country, or what is it going to be like? How is it going to be raising our children there? There are fears with that, but in the Dominican Republic, God showed me it's okay. God will make a way. God will give you the strength and endurance for what you need to get through these tough situations. Because I will not say that living in the Dominican was easy. It was not comfortable. It was not easy. We had to wash our own clothes. You know, they didn't really have a washing machine, or it was kind of a makeshift washing machine where you put your garden hose in it. You know, nothing was easy there. And I think God really used that to show me, but it was okay. And I enjoyed my time there so much. Like, it was great. It was a blessing. And I was so glad to be there and to serve those Dominican people. So that really, that kind of pushed me towards, yes, I'm excited about being a missionary. I'm excited about serving God in this way. And even though I may still have fears about it, I can do this because God will help me do this. It's through His strength that I'll be able to do this with Brett and Nathaniel. So that's just kind of my background and how I got to being at the same place as Brett, as yes, this is now our goal. When we got married, this became our goal. It wasn't just his goal anymore. It was for both of us, and I'm committed to helping him make this happen. And it's been tough over the past several years. Some of you that got our newsletter know that Brett has been working on this since 2005, and so next year that'll be 10 years. So it's been 9 years. He has been actively working on this pretty much in his free time, besides when he's working full-time, going to Bible college and A&P school and doing all the flight training. All of that has been preparing us to serve in this way, and it has not been easy. I mean, the last 3.5 years that Brett and I have been married, I'd say they've been a little bit tough in some ways. Like, some ways God has blessed us, and they've been fine, but in the way of him doing the flight training and preparing to be missionaries, it's not been easy. God has brought us through a lot, and he's taught us a lot. But through all of that, I can see that God is faithful. He is faithful to constantly provide for us through Brett's job on the base, and just how nice that has been. Because of his job at the base that God gave us, we've been able to do so much, whether it's Brett's vacation days or just the sick time they give him. Through all of that, God has blessed us in just being able to be here and live the life of comfort that we have right now and to get the flight training done. And that is just something that we can thank him for. So I guess the other thing I was going to share with you was just about the Missionary Training Center, just real quick. That's actually, we're going to be showing another video. A lot of you have asked questions. Well, like, what are you guys going to be doing in Missouri? What is that going to be like? How come you're going to Missouri? Like, we say, oh, we're going to a Missionary Training Center. Like, that should answer all the questions. But it's a training center set up by New Tribes to train their missionaries before they get sent out to another country somewhere. Because, I mean, if you think about it, you just getting up and leaving America and, okay, I'm just going to move and leave to the Philippines. Do you feel like you'd be ready? No. Like, what do I pack? What do I bring? How is it going to be? What is it going to be like there? You have so many questions. They're going to help prepare us to face all of that. They're going to prepare us not only just knowing more about the Bible, but just prepare us to live cross-culturally, live in a country that is not our own, live among people that are so different from us. We will have to adjust to their culture and their way of dress, everything, their way of eating, food, everything. They prepare us for that. They even have some of the classes we'll be taking. They have a parenting class for us just to give us some guidance as far as when we have children and parenting on the mission field and how that might be different from here in America. They have a marriage class for us to take just for Brett and I to work on our relationship together, because honestly, and Brett and I have found this out so much in the last 3.5 years, if our relationship together is not going okay, his training, everything for this falls apart. It just does not go well. So he and I have to be on the same page and have a good relationship in order to move forward in this goal and to be able to serve in this capacity. So that's just a couple of the classes we're going to be taking in the Missionary Training Center. They have a whole bunch for us. They have it all set up. But as far as moving to Missouri, some of you have asked about our housing. Well, where are you going to live? Do you have to find your own house? They actually have housing for us there. They have a big, beautiful campus right on the Lake of the Ozarks. They have apartment housing for the missionaries that are going to be there in training. So we already have an apartment all set up for us. We have 2 bedrooms, so, you know, Nathaniel and for us. And it's actually probably about the same size of what we're living in now, so that'll just be such a blessing. We have our own kitchen. They want us to be able to live there and be comfortable and to still be a family, but then still be involved in the other students on campus and be taking our classes. Another person asked about childcare for Nathaniel. Well, what's Nathaniel going to be doing while you and Brett are in childcare? They have a whole childcare program set up for him in the mornings when I'll be in class, and actually the moms all help by rotating teaching that, so I'll actually be helping teaching that childcare class as well. So I'm really looking forward to that. I think that'll be really fun, another way to meet the other missionary families and their children, and it'll be a safe place for Nathaniel to be while Brett and I are in the classes and learning what we need to learn. I guess that's pretty much all I was going to say about the training center, and we're going to have a little video that kind of just shows you what that's going to be like for us. It'll show some pictures of the campus and just what their goal is in training us, because each of the, like, so God allowed Brett and I to be born into our families where we were raised as Christians, and that was kind of like the first step. Our parents trained us to a certain point, and then the next step was maybe our Bible college, and we learned more about the Bible, more about God, and that was the next step. Brett's training was another step. This training in Missouri is just the next step for us. These are all kind of stepping stones preparing us to do what God has called us to in serving in missionary aviation. And we are convinced that these are so important for us because we want to be as prepared as we can before we leave to go overseas. Better to be more prepared, right, than underprepared. And so we have, this next year we'll be in Missouri. We will be there until May when, Lord willing, we'll graduate, assuming we do well in our classes. And then we have a little break in the summer, which probably we will go around and hopefully maybe come back here and visit, go and spend some time with our families in California. And then we will be starting Brett's pilot training, which you already saw in the video, that location in Arizona. We'd be starting that next summer in August, and that's for about 9 months to a year. And then after that, Lord willing, if we're ready to go and then we have enough people supporting us, we'll be ready to go to another country and we'll be ready to serve God in this way. So please just be praying for us in the next few years. We know this isn't going to be easy. And people say, oh, wow, you're going to be missionaries. You guys are just like so great and so perfect, whatever. And please know we're not. We're real people just like you. I cry just like anybody else. Brett and I have struggles just like anybody else. And this journey has not been easy. And we just really need your prayers. So, thank you.
During college, I was challenged to consider working among the most unreached, people that would never hear the gospel if I didn't go.
We feel God has raised up the Missionary Training Center to help people understand aspects of cross-culture church planting. How do I go about this? How do I learn a language? How do I learn this culture? I can't just start with Jesus. I've got to build a foundation. And part of those ministry capabilities are learning how to relate to people who we have nothing in common whatsoever. How to build relationships before we even open our mouths in regard to God, because they're watching that.
The reason I think this training has been effective for me, even though I've had field experience, is they've geared it to be so practical.
Well, being raised on the mission field as an MK, I was able to see just the importance of the gospel being presented in their own language, and then also the need to understand how to work with coworkers.
If a person does not really have a strong foundation biblically and they're secure in their relationship with the Lord, then it's doubtful that they're going to stay year in, year out. And so we try to prepare them for all those potential issues that they're going to face, and we realize when all is said and done, their individual personal relationship with the Lord is very, very key to them staying.
So it's important that you get good training here so that when you get over to whatever country the Lord takes you to, that you use the resources that He gives you, you use your time most efficiently.
Going into New Tribes training is incredibly beneficial and helpful. It prepares you in a number of levels, not just intellectually, but it prepares you spiritually, it prepares you emotionally.
Your goal is to build a church that will survive, that will thrive and still hold true to the teachings of Christ even after you leave, and it will multiply itself.
Having gone through the training, it's really a time of maturing, a time of counting the costs. And we're being taught by awesome men, awesome women who have been out there.
being here, being able to build relationships with the staff has been incredible. The discipleship that happens, learning from their life experiences and how the Lord used them, especially through difficulties.
The length and the breadth and the depth of the training you get with New Tribes, if you're going to work with unreached people groups, is really essential.
The purpose is to get a mature church, a church that's alive, that's reading the Word of God, in love with the Word of God, in love with the Lord.
We've seen the cause of taking the gospel where it's never been as a compelling driving force, and we wouldn't change giving our lives to do that.
Jim, if you come, I'm going to have Jim come and share his letter, and then we're going to bring Brett and Jennifer up, and we're going to have a prayer of commissioning with them, and then we will move on to our offering and then get next door and eat. I think I can smell the food, or maybe I'm just hungry. I don't know. But Jim, you come. I put your letter out here for you, and share that with us.
I'm not quite as wordy as the pastor.
Easy.
Well, that's not bad. To the Wright family, Brett, Jennifer, and Nathaniel, how do we begin to express how we feel right now? It is most assuredly with mixed emotions. Joy that you are reaching another milestone in your quest and calling to be missionary pilot. Sadness at the thought of not having you three as regular part of our Christian fellowship. I remember the first time I saw you at church and found out that you were from California. My first thoughts was to recall John 2, verses 45 and 46, where Philip invited Nathanael, who knew, to come and meet Jesus of Nazareth, and Nathanael's response was, "Can anything good come from there?" So my response was, "Can any Christian come from California?" Well, I guess so. You both have been shining examples of what committed and dedicated Christians are like. With all that was going on in your lives, just showing up for church services would have demonstrated a reasonable commitment to honoring the Lord, but that was never in your plans. No, it was 110% commitment to His service wherever and whatever was needed, serving our youth, teaching, music, building relationships, and ramps, just doing whatever needed to be done. Not only did we get to enjoy your presence, but we also got to meet many of your family members who also proved to be committed Christians from California. Brett, we will always appreciate the extra effort you took when putting in your flight time to share the joy of flight with so many others, including our grandson, Thomas. As you head out into your next adventure, please know that you will be lifted up in prayer daily. For we indeed feel like Paul did when he was writing to the Philippians in chapter 1, verse 3 through 6, where he says, "I thank my God every time I remember you, and all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. This is not so much goodbye as it is farewell until we meet again. And with all sincerity, we wish you Godspeed. With much love and affection, Jim and Norma Williams."
That's all right.